So I'd like for us to turn in the Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verses 17 to 23. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom and knowledge and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful, and his work is burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Dear people of God, as we continue to look at the book of Ecclesiastes and this idea that all of life, when it is investigated, as he puts it over and over again, under the sun, which means a life that is separated from God. It doesn't take God into account. God is outside of that life that is described as under the sun. And the preacher is trying to impress upon all those that hear him that that kind of life is an absolute failure and depressing and discouraging beyond words. And yet the need for that message is nowhere more apparent by the fact that we live in a world where most of the people are living that kind of life. Most of the people in the world are living a life that is detached from God. They have no connection with God. They enjoy everything that He's created, but they deny the fact that He created it. In fact, they deny that He exists even. And so they are in this system whereby they come into this world and they live however long their life lasts. And beyond it, they have no thought. They have no answer. Or we might put it in terms of a Heidelberg Catechism. If we ask them, what is your only comfort in life and in death? They absolutely have nothing to say. Absolutely have nothing to say. All they put their hopes in is enjoying life, making something of themselves, accomplishing something in this world, leaving a name for themselves, a mark, as it were, in this world. But beyond that, they have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the preacher is speaking to this world and saying, how terrible a life that is. I mean, how depressing that life is. And how in the world do people carry on? Having come to faith, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that it's true with you as it is with me, that I cannot imagine living a life without the gospel. I mean, if somebody would prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is a lie, I think I just go mental. Absolutely mental. Because this is exactly where it would bring me. What am I here for? What am I doing? What's the purpose of my life? It just drains all of it away. And even though what the preacher is saying is true, yet we don't find people crying out, do we? I mean, we don't find people in the world saying, you know, help us out here, but we're just going crazy. We don't know what are we doing here. We don't know what the point of all of this is. We need help. We need help. No one does that of their own accord. Yes, people become Christians, but that's because God draws them by His Holy Spirit. They don't come in and of themselves. They don't come because they've analyzed this world like the preacher has done and realized that it's absolute vanity in chasing after the wind. And so that's an important truth that we need to learn, whether we're young or whether we're old. We are all in this boat in terms of what the writer is saying, this vanity of vanities, that we all end in death. I mean, that's true for everyone. It's not just the elderly have to think about that. No, the young people are the same. I was watching a show, and there was this young guy, and he had brain tumors. He was going to die, and of course he's beside himself, and he's living carefree, you know, not afraid of danger, because after all he's going to die anyway. And so here he is in his car, and a policeman gets in the car. It's his friend, and he's driving this car at breakneck speed, right? Doesn't care. And the other guy is trying to, you know, calm him down, to slow down the car, right? Let's not crash it and kill both of us. And the guy said, and the young guy says to him, he says, "I'm dying. I'm dying." In other words, it's pointless. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm going to do. And the guy next to him says, "We're all dying. We're all dying. You're not the only one in this boat. You're not the only one facing this. We're all facing it. You happen to know, even though you can't tell the exact time. I mean, we look at people and think, yeah, that it's close to the end. But there are many other people that die before that person comes to their end, right? So we can't dictate, we can't determine that. But we're all in that boat. Everyone in the world is dying. I mean, I would say in a matter of 110 years, everyone that's alive today is going to be gone. Everyone in the whole wide world, right? 7 billion people, nearly 7 billion people are all going to die. So it's not something that you can ignore. It's not something that you can say, well, I'm not going to think about that. No, the preacher is bringing that to your mind and heart. That you have to think about that. You can't ignore it. That's like someone saying someone with a terminal disease forgets about it. And we say, well, don't even think about that. Just live your life. Yeah, no. It doesn't work that way. In fact, Hebrews speaks about that, doesn't it? That all of our days, we live under the fear of death. So even though the world may present itself to be brave and all, we can carry on and stuff like that, but no, it's a fear that they have. And so the question is, the preacher wants to really make that point to us. And he wants to bring out different ways that people may rationalize it in their minds, and bring them to the hard reality that in all their plans and all their ways of looking at it, that it comes to the same result. It's a vanity of vanities. You can't get away from that. And the only solution to that is what he is bringing about. That we are not to live this life under the sun. We're not to live a life that is detached from God, because there is no hope. There's absolutely no hope. And there's absolutely no point to it. And it's in that light that Isaiah 55 kind of brings the same message. I mean, why are you chasing to satisfy yourself in this world by the things that this world provides? The world cannot provide it for you. The world will not give you an answer for that, that will satisfy the soul. But nevertheless, we pursue it with everything that we have. And Isaiah is saying, why do you do that? Why do you do that? All that effort. And it's not going to satisfy you. Absolutely not. But come to me. Come to me. You can have all of those things without money, without price, free of charge. And it'll satisfy your life. You will have, as I said, what the catechism teaches, you will have this comfort for life and in death that will absolutely transform your life. Absolutely give you a purpose. So that it doesn't matter what kind of conditions you experience in this life, you will always have that comfort. You will always have that hope. And the scriptures have ample, ample proof of that. All those that trusted in God did not have a life of ease, a life of a pain-free life, a healthy life, a successful life, did they? Did they? All different experiences that God's people had. From martyrdom to a long life. And yet all of them had this wonderful hope. Even at the point of death. They said Stephen's fainted like an angel. I mean, he's being stoned to death and he's looking up into heaven, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ standing ready to receive him. No, when the Catechism talks about comfort in life and in death, it means that. It's not just a saying. It's been proven, experienced by God's people. And, I mean, not only in the Bible, of course, but in the history of the church or in our own church. We've had that. We've had the tragedies that life brings among Christians. And yet there's that strength. The Lord is there to strengthen us, to bring us through those difficult times. He's never failed us. So the preacher kind of, as I said, he's not one to dictate and just say, this is the way it is. Accept my word for it, right? Like a teacher coming into class and saying, this is it. Not engaging anyone in evaluating and thinking through those things. Just states the fact and that's it. No, the preacher isn't that way. Right? He wants to lay it out because he wants it to embed itself in our mind and in our heart. It will always be there. Because this struggle is always there. And so he says, having talked about the vanity of vanities, he says, well, as a result of that, I hated life. I hated life. So now he's putting himself in that world of under the sun. And as he's looking at all of those things that he's spoken about earlier, like wisdom and folly, different types of ways that you might pursue life. And he says, and how does a wise man die as a fool? So when you live your life supposedly in wisdom, wisdom of course not of God, but of the world, it doesn't help. Even if you make all that effort and you try and pursue life and do good things, it doesn't escape what the preacher is saying. And so in the light of that, he says, therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping after the wind. And you think about that. So we pursue life that God has given us. We don't pursue a life, as some people do, right? Just abusing everyone around them, just getting what they want, right? It doesn't matter who they tread over, who they hurt, who they kill. They just pursue that kind of life. But not everyone is like that. I mean, our world is not full of that. There are those that are hardworking. There are those that are very careful in terms of the things that they do. They try to be good to other people around them, their families, their friends. They try to use the abilities that they have for the general good. In other words, living in terms of wisdom of this world. There are those people like that. But the preacher is saying that that also ends with death. So what was the advantage? Somebody that's a drug addict or a criminal lives all their life that way, and here's someone that's, you know, trying to do the right thing, lives their life that way. In the end, they both end in death. So what? Is the wise man going to say, yeah, but I'm better than you? They're both dead. There's nothing more in their scheme. Right? It just comes to an abrupt end. So you can imagine somebody saying, well, what was the point of all that? I mean, what was the point of all my... I mean, Psalm 73, here's the psalmist evaluating life, his own life, in comparison with other people. And he, in a sense, comes to this end. He said, what's the point? I mean, I'm living a holy life. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to follow his law. And I'm doing whatever sacrifices you have to make in that. He's doing all of that. And yet he's encumbered with all of these trials, all of these difficulties. And when he looks around and hears these other people, they have no care for God, no care for other people. And they're, you know, in today's kind of preaching sometimes, they have health, wealth, and success. Nothing seems to touch them. The troubles that surround us, they seem to just shrug off like water off a duck's back. And he says that it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But of course he was wrong. Because it doesn't just end in that. That's not the end of the story. And he has shown that all of these people that he's looking at and looking up to that are healthy, wealthy, and successful, actually, in reality, God's reality, when you put God back into the picture, they're on an incline to disaster. And I don't mean death, because the other person dies too. No, I mean eternal death. The judgment of God. And so that he was not to envy them, and he wasn't to be disappointed and confused about his own life. I mean, the Apostle Paul didn't say that. I mean, he wasn't healthy, wealthy, and successful. He faced death all day long. But he never said, oh, he's not worth it, he's not worth it. No, no, no. I mean, because he had the right view of life, he said, this slight and momentary affliction is not worth comparing with a weight of glory that he has. So, we're not to let the views of the world flood into our hearts so that we pursue the same kind of life they do. Right? I mean, we say that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to church, but practically, do we live our life in the context of God and his redemptive purposes? Because if not, we'll drift back into the world's way of thinking and we'll fear death and we'll try and grab as many things as we want to do in this life that we can before time runs out. No, don't do that. Absolutely don't do that. That's a terrible life to live. The preacher is saying, I hated that life. I hated that scheme. It just makes everything around us pointless, meaningless. It makes everything that we do just, as he says, it's a burden. It's burdensome to live that and to think that that's what it is. It's burdensome to us. As I said, everything that we do has this sense of futility surrounding it. Why am I doing this? What's the point? There is no point. It takes away any meaningful, or we might put it in Jesus' terms, any experience of the abundant life. We don't experience abundant life if that's the way we live. We live a life that is anchored to this world. We live a life that is the life that this world pursues apart from God. Don't do that. You can't run with the world and act like the world and then say, yeah, but I've got this extra bit. I believe in God. But the rest of your life, you're just going to live the way that they do. This rat race in which we find ourselves. No, people of God, it's a burdensome task. In fact, the same word is used, like burdensome, in Isaiah 1:14, where God finds it burdensome to witness the worship of his people. Absolutely useless. Because their heart wasn't in it. They were just going through the motions of worshiping God, but there was no true worship going on. And when God looks at it, it's a burden to him. He can't stand to look at it. He can't stand to hear what they're saying. In fact, he puts it very graphically, does he not? It makes him sick. It makes him want to vomit when he sees that. That's what life is under the sun. In the eyes of the preacher, it makes him vomit. It makes him repulsed at that life. It's so terrible that he can't imagine himself, or anyone else for that matter, living that life. As I said, if it would send me over the top mental, if the gospel was not there, that there was no gospel, then that's what the world is. And so we have to bring this wonderful message on the preacher, is that it doesn't have to be that way. Absolutely doesn't have to be that way. As I said, as Isaiah 55 says, it doesn't have to be that way. God has provided. God does exist. He is involved in this world. This life has a meaning, has a purpose. If we obey him, if we love him, if we see him in this world, and we pursue a life of obedience before him. That's the abundant life. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. He came to bring life, abundant life. That everything that we do has a purpose. Everything that we do brings glory and honor to God. We don't fixate on the various circumstances that might come into our life, difficulties or good times. As our catechism says, we're not let them go to our head, whether in a positive direction or a negative direction. And the Bible speaks about both, does it? Job. Here's someone that's righteous, and he's suffering as he does. What a burden that was. But he didn't throw it all away, did he? He didn't say, oh, well, we must live in a world that there's no God. Otherwise, why is he always talking about, oh, if only I could speak with God. If only God would give me an audience. If only I could lay these things out. I mean, he was set in terms of his salvation. He knew that. He knew how he stood with God. He just couldn't understand why he was experiencing the things that he was experiencing. That happens to God's people. We mentioned that earlier, martyrs that are killed for their faith. And the people of God suffering persecution, even in the New Testament, as you know, under Paul, going after them, putting them into prison, running from one place to another to hide. They didn't give up their faith, did they? No, because living a life with someone chasing you, wanting to put you in prison or put you to death, is worse if they let go of the gospel. They're not going to let go of the gospel, even though they're experiencing all of those things. Because without the gospel, it's unimaginable. Absolutely unimaginable. And not only that, but he said, then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to a man who will come after me. So in other words, people take comfort in the things that they achieve. As though, you know, if you make it to a certain level or you get things done, that somehow that you're fulfilled. Somehow you can relax. Somehow you can say, yeah, life was worth it because I accomplished this or I accomplished that. Invented something or something, right? Came up with a cure for some diseases. I mean, now made a name for myself. And that's what the preacher is trying to warn against. That we shouldn't put our, the meaning of our life shouldn't be in terms of, oh, what we've done, what we've come up with, what we've invented, what wisdom, so-called, I've imparted to the world by writing of books or whatever. It's still going to end in death. All that you've said is going to fade over time. Even in terms of, you may become rich, you may have tons and tons of money. And what is it? Well, you're going to leave it to somebody else. You're not going to take it with you. You can't take it with you. So it's left to somebody else. They may waste it away much faster than you worked for it. So what came of that? What's the lasting value of that? And yet people do that, right? They live their life and they want buildings named after them. They give tons of money to this, that, and that. Somehow that their name will be remembered. That's the extent to the meaning and the purpose of this life. And the preacher is saying no. No, absolutely not. Because one, death separates you from those things. So the benefit to you is nothing. No matter how much money you have. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What answer is there to that? That's what the preacher is saying to the rich and the wealthy of this world. You are pursuing this path and you think you've arrived. You think you've succeeded. And everyone should be looking up to you. And he's saying, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it profit? Are you able to face death with any confidence or comfort? Because you have billions of dollars? Death doesn't look at that, does it? I don't see healthy and wealthy people laughing in the face of death, saying, oh, you can't hurt me because I've achieved all of these things. They would give all of that money to avoid death, to be cured of whatever disease they have. And we've seen that, right? We've seen very rich people, successful people that ended up with a disease, and they gave all that money to try and come up with a cure as though their money could do it. No, we ought not to take solace in the things that we achieve, because they're not going to help you. They're not going to take away this vanity. They're not going to take away that certain end that we all face, which is death. So we have to begin to think in terms of what is our answer to that? What is your answer to that? I mean, young people can't say, well, I don't have to think about those things. I'm pretty busy right now with school and everything like that. And so I don't even think about on those levels. Well, why? Because death can't come to you. You have a guarantee that you're going to live a certain length of years, and so you can put this off. And we've been praying for over a year for Isaac Sloan, a young boy. He doesn't think about these things? Or with the gospel? With our relationship to God, we have all that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ to face all the challenges of life. And by the way, he's not the only one. There are many others that are young, that are facing diseases, and yet they are able to go through that journey with hope and comfort, because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have this strength that God gives, because their world is not just this world without God in the picture. Their world is God in the picture. And they're able to face and live that life, and it still be the abundant life. It's still the abundant life. They can speak in terms of Stephen, their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the future that they have with him after this life, because this life isn't the end of everything when God is in the picture, as he is. Now we have this inner strength that Corinthians talks about. When it talks about the answer to death, which is the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and us with him, therefore we remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What? Knowing that our labor is not in vain. Our labor is not in vain. And so each of us needs to have that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that understanding of reality as it is, that we're God's creation and we're sinners, that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're forgiven all of our sins and God works in us and we are his witnesses. We have a mission to be his witnesses. Witnesses in terms of the mighty redemptive acts of God that he has accomplished and we've experienced, and how it's absolutely transformed our life. And even though before we liked the world, we lived in fear of death, and now we have an answer for that. Not that we go looking for death and saying, come at me, whenever you're ready, I'm ready. No, we don't do that. But we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever difficulties come in our life, whether it be terminal diseases or whether it be accidents, as we've seen in our world, then we are secure in His hands. Absolutely secure in His hands. And the moment that we pass from this life, we awaken to the eternal glories. That's a reality that we need to fix in our minds. It's so easy, as I said, to push it aside and simply live like the world. And somehow, when we come to that point, now we're grabbing at it. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't play a trump card when you're near death. If it's not already part and parcel of our life, you can't put it there. Of course, with the thief on the cross, by God's mercy and grace, the thief came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't plan it that way, did he? He didn't say, I'm going to live a life of all this crime, and then in the end, last moment, I'm going to turn to God. That's not in our hands, is it? Not in your hands. And why would we want to live any amount of time and our life in this context of under the sun, without God, just doing it ourselves? No, it's a miserable life. It's an absolute miserable and meaningless and vain life, and you don't want to spend a day in that life. So I ask you, as a preacher is wanting to do, take the time to think about that as young people. As you look at your life, then you make decisions of dreams of what you're going to do. I'm saying, think about what the preacher is saying. Sort those things out in your mind. And it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to lay that solid foundation so that all your life you can live in obedience to Him. That no part of your life are you ever going to look back and say, well, that was vanity of vanities. No, let every day be a day of service to Him. Every day, as the Westminster Confession says, we live life to bring glory to God. But how can we do that if we're off doing our own thing and forgetting about God? No. Don't ever think, well, I'm young, so I can't really make any difference. I just have to live my life. I'm in training. Someday I'll do something, but right now, no. No, God uses you. Whatever age you're at, you can be a witness of God's wonderful grace and comfort and hope that He gives to us. So that when life brings its challenges and the devil brings his taunts to undermine our faith, we will stand secure. Whenever that day comes, when life is ebbing away, we will have that inner strength and confidence that, like Stephen, we will look up into heaven and see the Lord Jesus Christ standing, ready to receive us into glory. People of God, let us live life not under the sun, but under the Lord Jesus Christ, under His cross, with the comforts that He has promised us in His word. Then every day will be full of meaning, and every day will bring glory and honor to our dear Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that You have broken in to our chaos of this world, darkness and despair of this world. And You have shone that gospel light into our hearts and into our minds. You have fed us with that manna from heaven, that when we eat of it, we will never hunger, and when we drink of it, we will never thirst. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you've redeemed us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed us from being worthless creatures, sinful, disobedient creatures, seeking to set ourselves up against you, to those that fall down before you in worship, in gratitude, in thankfulness that you have set our feet upon a rock. And our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy that we have as your people. And we're thankful that we have this solid comfort, whether in life or in death, we have these sure promises that you made to David, to Abraham, to Adam and Eve, and to us. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might truly know that solid foundation that no one can lay, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful hope we have that just as we died with him, we will also be raised with him at that great resurrection. Our Father in heaven, we pray that your people would always live in the light of this teaching of your word, of the preacher, so that we might truly experience the joy of that abundant life, living under you, in obedience to you, and for your honor and for your glory. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this life, and we look forward to living it this week. Hear our prayers and bless us, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 584.